Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here for New Life, the ministry nobody wants to have. But when you need us, oh my goodness, is it ever great to have a place you can call where there's just help. No shame, no put down, nothing. We just want to help you. Joining me, help others today, Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey. Oops. You know what I thought you were going to say is a place to call home. A place to call home, because there's a lot of folks, Steve, that listen to us, and this does become their home of healing. It's not just one thing that we offer, right? You've got the radio show, but then they start going to the workshops, and they start changing, and we do become a home for their heart to heal.
A home, and people become family. And that's what I love to see happen. And I want to invite anybody in or out of the family to call us right now. We've got a phone number, 1-800-229-3000. And as it is, we'll be here for a couple hours. And we would love to talk with you. 1-800-229-3000. And I just want to tell you, you know, there is no better time than the first of the year to get things cracking with God and God's Word. And you know, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God, useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. And it corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now that is, there aren't many things that have that kind of promise to them. And to not avail yourself daily to some Bible truth and wisdom, well, what a mistake that would be. And if you need a Bible, we have so many great, wonderful Bibles. You call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. We have a Bible just for you. Now, I want to mention that a brand new project just coming to the surface here. We have three new life recovery workbooks. One is on grief, and if you send me a book, if you send me a gift of any amount, I'll send you this brand new workbook on grief. You use it with the Life Recovery Bible. There's another one on eating disorders and a third one on sexual integrity. The one on divorce is coming out next month. It's late because the person that was in charge of that one turned it in a little bit late. Okay, so I got busy. But anyway, grief, eating disorder, sexual integrity. But right now, if you want a great workbook to help you integrate truth into your life, help you in the grieving process, there just aren't enough resources these days to help us grieve. It's tough.
Steve, we do need a guide in grief, because the things people tell us to do when we're grieving tend to lengthen the process and keep us deeper in the pain, whether it's don't talk about it, don't ask about it, don't grieve for the dead, you've got to leave them in peace, you shouldn't cry about it anymore. Those things keep us stuck in the grief, so that we have a workbook that helps people do what's both biblical and brings us more healing faster. It's a real gift, folks.
Well, let me tell you, it's a real gift to the recovery community. I was talking with a gentleman who is one of the great gurus in the recovery world, and he said, you know, when it comes to 12-step, a lot of times it's not just Christians, but a lot of times people in 12-step work, when you need to do some grieving, their response is just, oh, you just need to get over it, you know. And so this is a great book to do some work in that area that maybe, you know, you've you haven't found a good resource to help in that process, this will. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. That phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to K, Washington, D.C. A lot going on there in Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station she listens to, and really glad that she does. How are you, and how can we help today?
I am well, thank you.
Good.
I have an issue here. You know, I've been married for a little bit over 10 years and suffered a lot of infidelity, you know, from the early onset. Finding out that recently that he has children outside of the marriage.
Oh, boy.
We have been separated for about 3 years now. And it really affects my older son, especially, you know, I know emotionally it's just not, and I don't know how to deal with it, you know, with my son. And, you know, even me in the first part of it, I know I didn't do a lot of stuff right. You know, I had a lot of bitterness, anger, but God has helped me recently. And I'm trying to heal and try to pray about it, but I just don't know how to go about dealing with this. And
how old's,
you know,
your son?
He's 5 right now.
All right.
He's 5 years old.
And he misses his dad.
Yes. You know, when he drops him off, he doesn't want him to leave. And, you know, he always cries for him and asks for him. I try my best to encourage him, but I know it's, you know, it's just not enough. But
so what's your husband doing? Has he gotten any help? Is he any better? Is he a good man, or is he still messing around? What's going on?
I want to say he doesn't open up, and he doesn't want to get help or anything like that. So that's why I'm calling, because I don't know how to go about or what to do.
It's horrible.
The person, which is the other woman, she doesn't know if she wants to let him go, because we had a discussion. And, you know, he instigates a lot of that feelings as well for the other person. So, honestly, I'm at a point where I just don't know. So that's why I want some professional, you know, assistance.
Sure. All right. So let's start with Sherry and see what she's thinking when she hears your story, your situation.
So, hey, Kay, can you help me understand this 3-year separation? Because I think a lot of times people get separated because they think that the distance in and of itself is going to help resolve things. And so why that long without anything changing, right? He's still with the other woman. You've had a conversation with the other woman. Sounds like she's not planning on leaving. So what's going on in you that you would stay in suspense?
I'm no longer in suspense because he keeps telling lies. So we had a confrontation, and that kind of resolved some of the things that he was lying.
Right, but suspense is to be separated and not move forward with divorce or move forward with reconciliation. He's showing you he's not interested.
Because the church that I go to, of course, you know, they preach that it's not good to get divorced. So that was one of my...
Well, hold on a second. All right. One of my favorite words or word combinations recently, talked about it here on the air, fatal excuse. Now, for you to use an excuse of, well, my church hates divorce. Well, there's a lot of stuff that can be done between he has another family, he's living with another person, and divorce. But also, The Bible says that Jesus specifically said to you personally, you can divorce your husband. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's almost got your name on it. So what I'm saying is, I've got to be a little tough with you here. You cannot let this thing, as Sherry's saying, be in suspense and a suspended situation over an excuse that, well, the church discourages divorce or God hates divorce. Yes, God hates divorce, and he hates a lot of other things too. And he loves you, and he loves that little boy of yours, and we need to get things rolling here with this man, and not just, well, you know, here it is, status quo. He's still with the other woman. Sorry to jump in there, Sherry, but I hate these fatal excuses that keep God's restoration from happening. And a church that would tell her, well, here's our response to you. Don't divorce a man like this. And then just nothing happens. I just think that's a horrible situation.
Well, Kay, you're the one that's really stuck in the middle, because you, of course, have to face your son's loss, and you're the one living with him and caring for him and seeing that what his father is doing is devastating your whole family. And as you ask the question about how to deal with your son's emotions, I think part of the question is also how to deal with your emotions. I imagine you have had to suppress an awful lot of devastating pain and anger towards your husband for all he's been unfaithful your whole marriage, it sounds like. And so I think if you want to know how to deal with your son's emotions, it's also allowing yourself to truly feel the anger, to truly feel whatever emotions come up about what your husband has done and is still doing to you and to your son, to not suppress them. So I'm glad that you want structured support, because I think you need it. Your whole family's being torn apart by your husband's choices, and he's not interested in changing. So with your son, too, it will take you intentionally drawing out what he feels and validating that this is scary, it's sad, it's not right, he is losing his dad to some extent, and that it's not his fault. If you can give him permission to feel and express, and you just acknowledge and not try to fix his feelings, not try to move him into feeling better too quickly, it will help him be able to talk honestly. And I think you need the same thing with an adult, a peer helping you through this as well.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, what else are you thinking could be helpful here for her?
So, Kay, did your dad cheat? Was he unfaithful to your mom?
I did not even grow up with my father.
Okay, because...
I did not have my father in my life.
Oh, what happened there?
You know, I'm from the Caribbean, so...
Okay.
Just sad to say that many of them, they just have kids and things don't work out, so they just go. And my mom ended up raising us, like, all 9 of her kids by herself.
I so hear you. And so you know what that tells me is you probably haven't had to draw a line with a man, right? Because you didn't even have a man to be mad at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your dad abandoned you and never got to meet you. And so to draw a line with your husband is going to be a big deal for you. And you're going to need some help and support. We're in your corner, but it would be great for you to wait online, and we'll get you hooked into one of our counselors that can help you stand and draw the line so that you can begin your healing process.
And look, here's the deal. If you're, let's just say somebody else is in a church, or you just have latched onto this, God hates divorce, and I'm not going to divorce for whatever reason, but there's been infidelity or repeat infidelity, or he's living with the other person. So your first step is to find someone that can walk you through this, where you can go from nothing, doing nothing, waiting, wishing, to getting some insight into your situation. If you call us, we'll try to find a Christian counselor for you, or maybe it's your pastor's wife or somebody in charge of a women's ministry. But the thing is, you know, make the first step out of isolation. At least do that one thing. Call, talk to somebody, be willing to call and talk to somebody.
Hey, Steve, can I read a verse for her? Because you brought up a very good point about how sometimes the church focuses on one verse, right? And we go along with that. It's Proverbs 6:16 through 19. And I love this verse, I think, because it shows us the heart of God. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. Now, that's a strong word, to know that God hates stuff like we do. So it's not just divorce. There's six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And so, you know, we forget all those other things that God says are not okay. And so oftentimes, right, I think abuse, we tolerate harm because of this big D word that we're so afraid of, or we think that is worse than anything else. And we just got to...
We hate divorce here.
We
don't
do. We're not pro, but we're pro not being complicit to other things that are hurting you. When someone is not repentant, they've not turned around. They're not willing to do their part.
And I love the proverb that says, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble. But an open rebuke, well, that's what can bring lasting peace. That's what we want to see, something that lasts. And, you know, it's just so ironic that when you are willing to take action, like you might divorce, that's actually your, many times, the best hope that there won't be a divorce. It's just the opposite of what you might think. When you don't act, they just don't even consider you, which they didn't when they started the affair and kept it going. All right. Let's go to, and thank you for your call, and I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. That's going to help you, I think.
And I'd like to send her Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, because she's got some healing to do.
Absolutely. It's coming her way. Joy from Boston, Massachusetts, listens on WEZE. Hi, Joy. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad to be on the air. I called to get the grief workbook, and here I am.
There you are.
Thanks for your donation.
Thank you. Haven't done it yet, but I will.
Okay, how can we help?
My question about grief is that it seems to me it is so tied in with post-traumatic stress disorder. I have a friend that just let me know that she was moving out of state. Both my sons just told me yesterday they were moving out of state. I live alone. I have a daughter who hasn't spoken to me in a long time, but she did text me today to wish me happy birthday. So,
okay.
My question is about grief. When there seems to be so much to grieve, it seems like it's never over. And so I'm questioning, is it because it just takes so long? Because it brings me right back. Yesterday I was thrown right back to the way back, feeling abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling
sure.
abandoned
well,
by my mother.
Yeah.
And so there I was. I felt like this scared little kid, and I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if you have any insight on that. I would appreciate it if you did.
Well, first of all, doesn't it make sense that people leaving you, moving away, that it would tap in to that feeling that you had there with Mom? Kind of makes sense, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but how long? Is it something that always stays there that way?
Well, that's the gift of grieving, is that it you don't ever forget it, but you experience it in a different way, not such a piercing, painful way when the grieving has been done. And we'll talk about that when we come back. All of this sparked by the grief workbook, life recovery workbook. You do the 12 steps working through grief. It's phenomenal. You will love this. But you have to call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, gift of any amount. I'll send it to you. It's brand new. Never been attempted, ever. You could be the first. All right, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for another hour and a half, so you come join us. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Joy, and a lot of things going on in her life, and some of those are tapping into past things with Mom, and it kind of makes sense that they would be. Alice, your thoughts here?
Well, I think, Joy, for most people, grief feels overwhelming before you get into a guided process of how to handle it. I've worked with so many people who are afraid to let their tears flow because they think they will drown in the tears. And the truth turns out to be that, of course, we need to cry many, many tears. And it's different for everybody. But if we get to tell our story to a person who is understanding and helps hold the grief alongside of us, it becomes more and more doable as it goes along. And it's one session at a time. It's one group therapy at a time. But it is telling the story, allowing your emotions to be seen by other safe people. And little by little, as Steve was describing, the memories don't hold as much emotional power over us as we bring them out into the light of relationship. And that's God's design to the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty powerful. So you Sherry, you have thought here?
Yeah, you know what, Joy? There was a day that you came into the world and your parents named you Joy. There was a day. And you may not, and I'm sure you don't remember that day because you were too little, but your name is a powerful name. And there's an enemy of this world that none of us like around here at New Life. You know, Satan wants to take us out, and he wants to take us out from the very first day, even maybe even before we come into the world. Mm-hmm. And I looked at your name, because names mean a lot to me, and I looked at what the opposite of your name was. And the opposite of joy is sorrow, unhappiness, misery, sadness, depression, woe. And that's where you're at. The enemy would love you to stay there because it's really like an assault against your identity and the very name that God gave you. So this is my thought. Sometimes folks with PTSD who have been abandoned and wounded like you as a child, sometimes we don't do the deeper work. And because of that, we walk around with our wounds on top of our clothes. We walk around and we're in misery, we're sad, we're depressed. And then the people around us move away from us because we're not working on our healing. And then that becomes even more confusing. Like, why are my kids pulling away? Why doesn't my daughter talk to me? Why is all this happening? And we keep pointing our finger outside instead of looking inside to do the work on cleaning out those wounds so that you can find your heart again. You can find your joy. You can find your life again. And there is so much there for you, girl, but you're not going to get it if you don't actively step in and start healing you from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Very, very wise words there. Okay, so I'll send you this
something?
Grief workbook. Yes, okay. Please do, Joy. Mm-hmm.
All right. First, I have been in therapy for many, many years. It became reparenting. Many years, and I'm still in therapy. And my name, Joy, was given to me by some women in one of the churches that I used to go to because the depression was so bad. They gave me that name.
Oh, they gave you a new name.
They gave
you
that
new
name. Because, like I said, the depression was so unbearable, and it actually offended me when they did that.
Huh.
But because I would love that name to be what it is, I said it today on my birthday because I wanted to give myself a gift. And so that's why I did that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you called on your birthday, because I think some of the things that Sherry and Alice are saying here are gifts of wisdom that you can, mm-hmm. you literally could use to change everything if you choose to do that. And man, I'm so sorry for what you have been through.
And Joy, it's always good from time to time to reevaluate how therapy is going and whether mm-hmm. or not you're receiving from it enough of what you need. So to bring this call back to your therapist and to look at your game plan mm-hmm. and decide, is this kind of therapy working for me right now? Do we need to add anything else to it? Or, you know, did Sherry give you an insight that you might bring to the therapist and apply? You might need to shake things up a little bit to then go to the next level of your healing process.
It just so happens that I do have a new therapist, and I lost the one that I had for many, many years, and it still breaks my heart.
It's another loss. Yeah.
Exactly.
Another big loss right there. So no wonder you're feeling all of these triggers that you're feeling. All right. Well, I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, the Grief Workbook, and I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Bible it's the workbook for the Life Recovery Bible. I think it's going to be a great blessing for you. You're going to be on a brand new journey of healing where your pain is servicing the solution rather than what many of us do. We're just in pain, and we're servicing the problem continuing. We'll take this break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. You can join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. You want the Grief Workbook, gift of any amount, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, find out about Every Man's Battle is this weekend in Washington, D.C. And this weekend could be the beginning of your life of sexual integrity as a man. Your life as a real man. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Sherry, you have so much inside of you, liver, spleen, but you also have this wisdom beyond most. And I think there are a lot of things that we didn't say if we'd had more time. So I just want you to just think a little bit about what else would you say to our previous caller, because I think there's a lot there, and a lot of folks are in situations very similar to that.
Well, you know, I appreciate that these ladies gave her this name. That's interesting to me, right? And mm-hmm. it's a little conundrum to me, because I think sometimes people want to fix grief. And even giving her a new name, I can appreciate their heart in it. But then you kind of are left with feeling like, okay, can you really hold space for my sadness? Sadness is one of the hardest things to hold space for, because there's anger and sadness, there's deep hurt, and people can feel like they're pulled down into the depths of like the goo with you. And mm-hmm. and so they push away instead of opening more space. I'm kind of like with you, Alice. I think people that need to grieve are afraid to cry. And when I do EMDR with people, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, people cry. And they end up, you know, snot-nosed crying on my couch. And you'd think that they're going to leave feeling worse. But actually, they leave over time feeling lighter because they haven't been able to access that deep grief. So your workbook, Steve, you know, encouraging people that they're not going to cry themselves into oblivion. It's just there's a thousand tears, and sometimes they're hard to get to. And
yeah, they really are. And okay, so that's really good wisdom, and I want people to know, maybe a disclaimer here, that if you do go through the grief workbook, not necessarily is there going to be snot nose type crying. It could be just
snot nose is good.
Basic weeping. So
I actually have Kleenex in my office, and I point to those, and I ask people not to use those. I said those are very expensive Kleenex. In fact, it's the cost of a session. And they look at me like I have three heads, and I said, let me explain it. I said, in tears, there's stress hormones. There's toxins, and you're paying to come to me to get it out. So let's don't stop. When we blot, like when people hand people a Kleenex, it stops the grieving process. So don't let people have room to cry.
Yeah. All right. Very, very good. Thanks for that. All right, let's go to Ed, Lake City, Florida, Sirius XM. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Hey, Ed.
Ed. Maybe we'll try Ed later. But Ed, it was good to talk to you, buddy. And all right, so let's go over here to Sarah, Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hey, Sarah.
Hi. I called you all a while back, and it was because my husband and I were having intimacy issues and hadn't been together in quite a while. And you all just encouraged me to keep digging deeper, and I did, and I found out that he struggled with pornography and same-sex attraction. And then I also found out about his past sexual history, which was with same-sex that I did not know about before marriage.
Didn't tell you that before you got married? He didn't tell you that before you got married? How long did you guys date?
To my knowledge, he hadn't. About a year and a half.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. It was devastating and still really is.
Sure.
And we have been in counseling basically weekly ever since. And in some ways I feel like I'm doing better in that I feel like I'm less angry than I was, and I feel like I've forgiven him. But in other ways I feel like I'm not better at all. Like I just feel so depressed still about it. And I still don't trust him. And although he denies it, I just feel like everything was a lie. Like maybe I was just a cover up or something. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Is he involved with any same sex relationships now?
No, and to my knowledge, the ones that occurred were before us. But still, it's like I don't feel like he's attracted to me or loves me, and it's just, and I know there's some things going on in my heart that I've never struggled with before. Like shortly after I found out, it was like I became obsessed with just getting in shape and looking the best that I could look, and it was like maybe that'll fix it or something. And then I did, and then it didn't feel any better. And now it's like this overwhelming desire to get attention. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick. Okay, real quick. Has he ever said, I am so sorry that I didn't tell you about my past before we got married?
Yes, he has apologized again and again and again, and I think he truly is sorry.
Okay, he's sorry about that. And then has he ever said, now that you know what's going on with me and some of the things inside of me, I'm now willing to get whatever help I need to get. Is he willing to get help?
Yes. Yes, okay.
What's the question for us then?
I don't know how to make myself feel better. It's like I feel so just bad all the time. And like, the person that he was with before was in our wedding, and it's like I got rid of our wedding videos. I just can't even have them in my house. and I don't know how to feel better again.
Okay.
Sarah, how long have you known?
It's been about a year.
Sarah, your whole reality has crumbled and it's all been called into question. And it does seem like everything that was core to the relationship was lied about and was covered up. That there was even, you might call it an imposter in your wedding, two imposters in your wedding ceremony, both your husband and this other person he'd been in relationship with. And that was all hidden from you. As long as a year might sound in time and all the weekly counseling that you have been through, what you're feeling right now and the obsession with your looks and hoping that would make it better and that didn't make it better, the fact that you still don't trust your husband, it all makes sense given what yeah. has been revealed to you and the relatively yeah. short time you've known about this.
No kidding.
No wonder your heart is broken and you don't even know really who your husband is or how you can feel about him at this point.
And yeah. how many people have ever gotten married and they find out a year later or 2 years later someone in the wedding party was somebody that had been sexually involved with the other person? I mean, that's a really, really tough reality that he did that to your wedding. He did that.
Yes.
It's horrible.
Yes.
So we're with you. Now the question is, what are we going to do? And that's where we turn to Sherry. Okay, Sherry. Intimate betrayal. Here it is. What's she going to do so she's not feeling all of this resentment and bitterness that she's totally justified in feeling, but if she continues to feel it, it's not going to make things one bit better for her.
Hey, Sarah. So, first off, I'm like Steve and Alice. I'm grieved that your reality, you're waking up to finding out that the man you married is not the man you married. And so you're dealing with something called betrayal trauma. And one part of betrayal trauma is that we have, it impacts our identity to the very core. In fact, there's a negative belief now, it's a trauma-induced negative belief that now has gotten attached to you that sounds like this: I'm not enough. I'm not pretty enough. My body's not enough. And that's why you're trying to exercise and seeking out attention, is because that those behaviors, were you doing them before you discovered his same-sex attraction?
No.
Of course
no.
you weren't. Of course no. you weren't. So this is a result of some post-traumatic stress that is around the betrayal. So oftentimes I think betrayed partners feel like they need to move quickly. They need to stop being angry. They need to forgive quickly. And what happens is their pain just gets buried alive, right? What you need uh-huh. first is you need to establish some safety in your relationship. And actually, you need the truth. You need more than what you've just discovered, but you need the whole truth so that you can make a thoughtful decision about what you want to do with your husband. Now, my hunch is he may have some sexual abuse. He may have been perpetrated on early on by a female, by a male, and it's a replication. I don't know.
He was.
Okay. And that's not uncommon. But there's a road ahead of you, and I want to make sure that you do the best to heal. And so I'd love to send you a copy of my book. It's called Intimate Deception, which you were deceived intimately, and Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal.
And then let's see if we can get you to the Restore workshop. But we've got some direction for him, too.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Sarah, one quick thing. What has this man done to win back your heart?
He's been going to the weekly counseling, but he's also gotten into a support group, like an accountability group. But, I know he tries really hard to assure me that, you know, he loves me and that he's being faithful and things like that. But
is he attracted to you? Is he? He's not attracted to you yet, right? Or what?
He says he is, and we have been together more than we were before. But
okay,
I don't know. It's like I can't convince myself.
Yeah.
Sarah, well, I think it is wiser that you're doubting at this point. There has not been enough time or enough proof for you to know what's true and what's not true. And a full therapeutic disclosure with a lie detector test is probably something that's going to be essential for you to be able to make the decision that Sarah was talking about with all the information you need.
Well, my thought is this. If he would go... You're entitled, given that he didn't disclose this, he has somebody in the wedding party that he's been with, you're entitled to say, I need more. And if he would go to Every Man's Battle, then he would get some instruction on how to do a full disclosure, and he would meet other men that have had the same struggle that are on the right road, and he would be in a group where it wouldn't be scary to talk about this. And he would get some help that would give you some confidence that he's not just, you know, getting a little bit of counseling here, but he's gotten, you could say, treatment for it. He's gotten real help for it. And so that's what I'd want to see for him, that he needs to step up his game a little bit. And I think that if he would do that, his attraction to you would feel that it would be genuine and not manufactured. But I really do think that you might feel better if he would do more than go to counseling and a support group once a week. That's my thought. Sherry, any other thoughts here? Or Alice, any thoughts here for her? Because, man, I just felt the pain here so deeply for her.
I just, it's going to be a road for him because when you've had those early traumas, it's like your wires sexually have gotten crisscrossed. And so I can appreciate your reservation because you don't want to be someone he's practicing on as he's trying to get his head clear. So he's going to need some deep trauma work that helps him to reframe his sexuality. And it's not a quick fix. I know I've worked with people. It's possible. It's just not a quick fix.
Mm-hmm. And lying and infidelity on their own are incredibly complex and difficult to heal from. But when you add into it the same-sex attraction and all that has been hidden from you, once a week counseling and an accountability group is good. It's not enough. This requires specialized treatment.
Yeah. And then the other thing I want to say to you is that if we can get you to restore, I want you to hold on, and there has to be a way for us to get you there. And then you getting into some kind of trauma recovery group. Because no matter what he does, we want you to be free so that you're not second-guessing yourself or, you know, trying whatever you come up with to make yourself feel love, accepted, or just even better. So just hold on. We want to do that. We'll send you Sherry's book. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. And oh my goodness, I'm so glad you called today, because here's the other thing. There are so many other women who are listening, and this is what, you know, they have been going through, and you're helping them to come to grips with, you know, just hoping it's going to get better, or wanting or wishing it to get better. It doesn't. And they're also, I think they might feel a little bit better right now that it all isn't just all wonderful and everything now that we've brought it out in the open and we're talking about it. So hold on. We're going to talk to you a little bit more right after.
And you know what, too? I think there's another layer with it being same-sex. So many women feel an additional layer of shame, like I'm not wanted, I'm not desirable, my femininity isn't enough. It's like an assault on that part of us. And so I just love that she was honest. I think if there are women that are listening and you're in a same situation, draw from her courage. Reach out to us. Don't keep it hidden. We want to help.
All right. Really glad that that she called. This is the reality of the Christian life. Be nice if everybody just, you know, went to Sunday school and married somebody and everything was happy and all that, but that isn't the way it is. So we want to be doing this for a long, long time, helping the Christian community deal with the tough realities that are there. I've got Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. Larry, how can people help us help others with these very, very tough realities that exist?
Well, I'm thinking of a movie from a Broadway play. I don't remember what it was. It was Money Makes the World Go Round. And I laughed at that song when I heard it, but I kind of it's painfully honest, and it's mm-hmm. it's true for ministry. Without support financially, we can't keep doing what we're doing, and the only reason we do what we do is to help people. I mean, that's plain and simply it. We want people to experience God's grace, His tenderness, His compassion, His love. We want a change of heart and mind. And Steve, I heard you say earlier, you reminded folks that every man's battle was this weekend. And I'd love to share from that workshop so people understand why we do what we do, when you can see what life change is happening. This man wrote to us after the workshop was over, "I came to every man's battle carrying in nearly 30 years of sexual integrity issues and lies from the enemy." And I just think about that alone. 30
That's
years.
Just
oh, my
onslaught.
Goodness.
Onslaught.
I'm walking out free to glorify God, free to serve others, free to redeem the time ahead. There's a path to freedom and redemption. I'm not alone, and I cannot do this by myself. The connections built here are life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that what's better? Life-changing.
Yeah.
He has hope.
Well, and, you know, I think most everybody has heard every study that's ever been done. 60% minimum, 60% of men in churches are struggling, and only 7% of the churches are doing anything about it. And that's why the workshop that we do is so important. We get these guys in, they change the trajectory of their lives, they come in, they're hurting, and they're full of shame, and they leave on a path toward sexual integrity.
Steve,
and
I want to
support people give helps us continue to do it. Yeah, go ahead.
At the risk of offending pastors, those that don't have this issue, you said there's a certain percentage of men dealing with this. The pastors are equally vulnerable, and they're equally having the problem, and we need the pastors to come and get help as well.
Hmm. And you guys, I mean, here at New Life, it's amazing. You actually offer a huge discount for pastors and their wives to come and to get the help, right, to make it easy for them to come.
Right. And what is so absolutely astounding is what happens when a pastor gets help, goes through a period of restoration, and that depends on, you know, the level of the problem. And then you see the life that they have, the ministry they have going forward. You see the lives that they influence. A lot of churches aren't doing anything because the pastor has the problem. Now, if you're a pastor, we'll help you, but you got to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry,
this,
a final word there.
Yes, EMB is this week. Sign up. It's not too late.
And There's every room. Man's battle is this week also.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, every man's battle is this weekend. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us for the second program today, Larry will be talking about EMB there also. 1-800-229-3000.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.